Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
Glory. Father, I pray that we may behold his glory, which God gave him. That's what Jesus prayed. What is the glory? Glory is like one of those words that are hard to define. Like the word beauty. Someone says, describe beauty to me. Well, you got a million different things to try to pick from. Someone says, now describe a baseball. Well, I can describe a baseball. It's going to fit in your hand. It's going to have a white cover. It's going to have stitches on it. It's going to weigh about this much, and you can throw it. I can describe, and you can get that. But describe beauty. It's going to take a little more effort. Now, describe glory. Describe the glory of God. It's going to take a lot more effort. Glory is the invisible qualities of God's power, his perfection, his presence that's somehow made manifest to us. The word glory means weight, heaviness, majesty, importance, honor. Jesus wants us to behold his glory. He wants us to behold his weight, his heaviness, his majesty, his importance, his honor. He wants us to behold it and be in awe intensely from focusing on him and experiencing his life-giving and changing power. According to Scripture, that's how we're changed, by beholding the glory of the Lord. Some Old Testament example, when King Solomon dedicated the temple that was just made in Jerusalem, the glory of God came down in a manifested form of a cloud, like the Shekinah glory, and it filled the temple, and it was so tangible, people beheld his glory. The priests were so overwhelmed, it says they could not even minister because there was a tangible presence manifestation of the glory of God. Have any of you, and you possibly have, ever experienced a tangible, manifested presence of the glory of God? Just lift your hand up if you have. Wow, look at that. I'd love to interview all and get your testimony. I had a little experience like that myself. I don't have time to share about with you right now, but I want to tell you about Moses' experience. Moses asked God, would you show me your glory? And God said, yeah, I'll show you my glory. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you over here in this cleft of a rock because otherwise it would consume you. I'm going to put you here and hide you here and cover you with my hand, and I'm going to let all my goodness pass before you. All the goodness of God, not some of it, but all my goodness is going to pass before you. I don't know what that felt like. I don't know what it looked like. I can't imagine. God said, this is my glory. It's all my goodness passing by you. And Moses came down from that experience, and he didn't even know it. But when he got down to the bottom, his face was shining with light. People were afraid of him. What happened to you? What in the world is going on with you? Who did your hair? Who does your makeup? It was the glory of God. He didn't even realize it until he got down to the foot of the mountain and people saw him. He said, your face is glowing. It's like light radiating. What is this? It was a physical manifestation. And that experience of glory left its mark on him. You have an encounter with God. You experience his glory. It leaves a mark on you. That's why all of you who raised your hand, you remembered that time. If that wasn't anything real, you wouldn't even remember it. You remember, it left a mark on you. You still remember it. And the evidence that we are beholding the glory of the Lord is that we will mirror His image in some way. We'll mirror the glory in some way that we saw His likeness. And your life, your face will project some way or another that you're beholding the glory of the Lord. Look at it again. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into His image with ever increasing glory by the Spirit of the Lord. So the question we should ask is, how do I behold the glory of the Lord? That ought to be our question. How do I behold the glory of the Lord? Well, we know some things the Bible tells us to do by intentionally, an act of your will, rejoice in the Lord always. Why? Because He's always present. You may not feel Him, you may not see Him. He's always present. So rejoice in the Lord always is a command. Giving thanks in everything is a command. Why? Because God's with us. And we just sang a song about it several times. And we know all things work together for our good. So we do this intentionally, renewing our mind with His Word, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Intentionally being a worshiper of God. That's why you came here today. You're a worshiper of God. You do these things intentionally. Yes, but there's more. Everybody say, there's more. Time with God and His Word is one way you behold Him. One way that you get transformed to become like Him. You read it. You read the Bible as if God is speaking to you. Because He is. The devil will make sure you don't have time to read your Bible. Has anybody been having the devil come around your life lately just trying to keep you so busy, so distracted, that you just don't have time right now with God? Don't have to raise your hand, because I know it's happening. Or the devil will just distract you. Why does the devil care? Because he knows. If you get focused, look at me. If you get focused on Jesus, you are going to cause the devil a headache. If you get focused, so the devil says, I can't allow you, Richard, to get focused. I've got to send trouble. I've got to send complications. I've got to send trouble and stir up some mess in your life. I've got to stir up stuff. So you don't have time to focus on Jesus. You've got too much time to be going on to go to church. Hello. Has anybody ever been there? So Satan knows if you get focused, Satan's going to lose his power over you. And God will arrange, here's a great sense of humor of the Lord. Oh, I got so many stories to tell you. God will arrange moments that are unexpected for you to suddenly experience His glory. It's probably not even going to be in church. God will arrange something in your life to happen where you're going to have to laugh out loud, you're going to chuckle, you're going to see the glory of God, and you're going to have to go, wow, God, you are so cool. This is so awesome. He's going to arrange things to show you His glory. Now, at first, the arrangement may not feel like it's anything that's good. The disciples one time were out in the boat in the Sea of Galilee. And a storm came. You know the story. And they were going, trying to get to the other side, following Jesus' instructions. And there's some seasoned sailors in that boat, so they know how to deal with storms, how to navigate around them. But this time, the more they oared and the more they had those paddles and those oars and they were trying to get to the other side, it was like the wind just kept pushing them farther back. The harder they tried, the less they got there. Has anybody ever relate to anything like that? The harder they worked, the wind and the waves pushed them back to where they were started. And Jesus saw them straining at the oars. He sees you too. I just say that it's very important. He sees. Yeah, he knows. He knows all about it. He sees. He sees them stranding at the oars, and he walked on the water to them. Now imagine you're in a boat and a storm is going and you're doing your very best to survive and keep this boat upright and try to get to the other side. And suddenly in the middle of a storm, you see Jesus walking on the water to you. Now let me ask you, where's your eyes going to go? Are you going to tell the guys, now guys, get your eyes off Jesus and get back to work? No, their eyes are on Jesus. They beheld his glory. He's walking on the water. They never seen anybody walk on the water before. They see him walking on the water. And the moment, here's, get this, the moment they saw him, they focused. Now the storm's not important. The boat's not important. We're not important. He's important. And their eyes are on him. They're focused on him. They're beholding his glory, and he's manifesting in front of them, and as they focused, they beheld his glory. They didn't care about the storm anymore. I don't think anybody said, well, hey, what about the storm? You guys, get back over here. I need your attention. Focus. Get this boat on. No, they're focused on Jesus. Look at John 6:20. Jesus said, and he said to them, Jesus said to them, don't be afraid. It's me. And they gladly received him in the boat. And notice this word, immediately. So everybody say, immediately. Immediately, the boat was at the land of which they were going. Powerful lesson. Here's the point. When you got Jesus with you and you're confident in him and he's with you and you're walking with him, Jesus will supernaturally get you to where you need to be simply by beholding him. Quit looking at the circumstances. Quit beholding the pain in your body. Quit beholding the problem. Quit crying and whining over all the issues and everything, and get your focus back on him. He'll get you to where you're supposed to go. And the enemy works hard at trying to keep you focusing on anything but Jesus. The devil will say, hey, focus on the storm, man. It's life or death. Or he'll say, focus on the pain in your body. And you talk about it. You focused on it. Focus on your failures, man. Aren't you feeling ashamed for all you've done? Focus on your regret. Focus on your lack. Focus on all the bad things. You can't see the glory that way. Queen of Sheba came to Solomon, King Solomon's kingdom, and she learned that the wealth and the glory of Solomon's kingdom was all because Solomon, at that time, put the Lord first in his life. And God blessed him, and the Queen of Sheba says she was overwhelmed. It took her breath away. Never has there been a kingdom like this in the world. And the wisdom that I hear come out of the mouth of Solomon, it overwhelmed her. She saw the glory. When you see the glory, you'll get overwhelmed in a good way. Focusing on your problem has never set anybody free. Well, I'm depressed and I'm taking antidepressants and I don't know how to get over it. Well, it's fine. Take the medication as long as you feel like you need to take it, but quit talking about it. Quit claiming it. Quit focusing on it. Quit reading all about it. Quit reading all the diagnoses. Then you read the side effects of the medications you take. Then you start worrying about what the side effects are going to cause you. Then you start thinking, man, I may have some of that in me too, and I don't know what's going on. Quit it. Everybody say? Somebody needs to lovingly slap you upside the head and say, will you stop it? Quit talking about the problem. Quit thinking about the problem. All you do is talk about it, think about it, and negative. Focus. Focusing on your problem will never get you out of your problem. I love the particular story of Mary and Martha when they had Jesus over for dinner in their home, and Jesus out there in the living room and talking to Mary. Can you imagine having Jesus all by yourself in the physical body? He's just talking to Mary, pouring into Mary, just pouring into her life. I'd like to have heard all that conversation. And then there's Martha, who's busy, and she's out in the kitchen. They got guests coming over. They got a lot of people showing up. There's a lot of food to prepare. And we know we got to get things done. We got a whole bunch of people coming over. And she's fit to be tied because her sister's out there while she's back there doing all the work by herself. And she tries to break out of the corner, behind the curtain, and she tries to put on a fake, phony smile and says, because she's madder than a wet hen at her sister. And she says, Jesus, would you mind telling Mary to come back here? I need to have a little talk with her. Praise the Lord. And Jesus took that moment and he said to Martha what he says to you and me many, many times. Gary, Gary, Martha, Martha, put your name in there. You're worried and cumbered about so many things. There's only one that's needful. And Mary is showing you by her example what that choice should be for you. And it's not going to be taken away from her. So no, I'm not going to tell her to get up in there and go in there and help you with all that stuff. Have you ever experienced in your own walk with God how God, well, you have a ton of things that you need to get done. Things are broken. You got to repair them. Things got to, and it all requires your attention, some way, your involvement. And have you ever noticed how when you just put the Lord first and you'll relax and you'll say, God, now will you help me to do what you want me to do today? And then you have interruptions and you have unexpected things come. And it's like you can't get to your to-do list. And you're either going to get frustrated and get angry at people and get a little snippy, or you're going to relax and say, well, that's fine, God, I ask you to control this day and order my steps. And then you notice supernaturally how God will help you get things fixed or get things done that you go at the end of the day, wow, how was I able to do all that? Anybody besides me ever have that kind of thing? God's trying to show you something. If you'll focus your life, get your priorities straight, get your values lined up with Him, He'll help you. He'll help you with everything. And probably a lot of the things you think you have to do, you don't have to do. Amen or oh me. God will orchestrate moments in your life to make you stop and consider the awesomeness of God. He'll cause something to happen. It'll make you just kind of stop you. You may be dumbfounded by a moment, and you just have to ponder the majesty, the wonder of God, how He orchestrated that you are in the right place at the right time ministering to this person, or this person's in the right place at the right time and they're ministering to you. One of those things happened in my yard sale yesterday. A guy come to me. He didn't look anything like a Christian. I don't know if he didn't get the memo or not, but Christians aren't supposed to look like he looks. And he comes up to me and he speaks a word into my life that I go, wow, Lord, you really are awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Now, how does He do that? I don't know. I don't know. But God knows how to get your attention. He knows how to stop you in your tracks. He knows how to overwhelm you with a beautiful sunrise or a sunset where you have to pull off the side of the road and just praise Him. He knows how to get a certain song on the radio at a certain moment and you hear it and you just begin to break out in praise. He knows how to get you to hear somebody or something or meet somebody or do something in your life where you see a miracle and you go, wow, wow, God, wow. That's one of the names of God, Jehovah, wow. Wow. You can even say it backwards. Wow. It works either way. Wow, God. He's going to do that. He's going to do something to make your soul sing worship to Him. It ain't limited to a building on Sunday morning. You're going to break out in praise because you've had all of a sudden, you see the glory of God and you just go, wow, God. God is great. Oh, and we have a word for those moments. We call them inspiration. 1912, the astronomers discovered at least a dozen galaxies were moving away from the Earth at the speed of light, or speed of 1 million miles per hour. 1912. A dozen galaxies are moving away from Earth at speeds of 1 million miles per hour. Edwin Hubble, the Hubble telescope, discovered there are galaxies still expanding in the universe. They used to think that they discovered the rim of the universe. They used to think that they had a special telescope that looked out as far as you could see, and they said, that's the end of the universe, and after that, there's nothing. Well, they got a new telescope. And the new telescope looked through the most dense part of the universe, expecting to find the rim of the universe, and they said it was like a filing cabinet. You know, you pull out a filing cabinet drawer, and you got all these files in there. It said the universe just kept going and going and going and going and going and going as far as it could possibly see, constantly expanding. And someone said, a scientist said, we believe that there had to be a big bang that started the universe, a big explosion, and out of that, everything is just rippling and continuing to expand. And so the question was given to one of these great scientists that said, well, who was the prime mover? What was the big bang caused by? Or who was it caused by? Or what was it caused by? And the scientist said, well, everybody's going to have to decide that for themselves, but let me just tell you, this is how it is. Without him, this would be an incomplete theory. Without him, without God. So when God said, let there be light, let there be land, not only did he create the universe, but that word that he spoke is still being heard. Because it hasn't stopped, it's still rippling over 1 million miles per second, and there are continual infinite number of galaxies. We're just in one galaxy called the Milky Way. Now, if you hear saying, well, see, that proves there must be more life on other planets, you're missing the point. Don't even waste your time with that. You're missing the point. You're missing the point of being overwhelmed by the awesomeness of God. When God said, light be, he said, boom, light be, and it has continued and continued and continued and continued and continued and hasn't stopped because God's eternal. Now, that's overwhelming to me. My little brain can't understand that. So what I'm trying to say is that God will set you up probably this week with a moment where you're overwhelmed and awed by his glory. You go, I don't know how and I don't know when, but he loves you so much, he's going to set you up. I'm praying this week you get a setup, a divine setup, where you have a moment where you just have to stop and go, wow, God. God, you're great. I thought of this yesterday when I heard this old hymn that we used to sing, How Great Thou Art. And I noticed something just this morning. Can you put the lyrics up for me? Actually, can you go back? There should be one before that. Or the next part. Go to the next part. I just want to show two words to you. The next part of it. That's fine. Yeah, there we are. Okay. Notice two words, okay? Notice the word when, and notice the word then. Oh, Lord my God, you can sing it with me. When I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Next one. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Now stop. Then. You have to have the when before you have the then. You're going to have a when. And God gives you an awesome thought, one of His thoughts. He shares one thought with you and it just blows your mind. And you're going to be in awe. And when I think of God, His Son not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee. That's where you're going. How great. Come on, stand to your feet. How great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to Thee. How great. How great Thou art. Are you getting it? You have to have a when. And then you'll have a then. You're about to have one. I promise you. You are about to have one. Now, altar workers, if you'll come up and stand in place, I have one thing to read. This morning I read this word and I felt like it was the Lord just not only speaking directly to me, but I believe He's going to speak directly to you, and I want you to hear. Listen. If you need to close your eyes, that's fine. Listen for the Lord speaking to you through this word. I love you for who you are, not for what you do. Many voices vie for control of your mind, especially when you sit in silence. You must learn to discern what is my voice and what is not. Ask my spirit to give you this discernment. Many of my children run around in circles trying to obey the various voices directing their lives. This results in fragmented, frustrated patterns of living. Don't fall into this trap. Walk closely with me. Listen for my directives. Enjoy my companionship. Refuse to let other voices tie you up in knots. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me wherever I lead. I said at the beginning of the message, and I close the same words. There's one key word that God is telling you and me today. Focus. 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 You're being distracted from God's plans and purposes for your life. You're running here and there doing a lot of things that God never asked you to do. He wants you to focus. And what needs to be done will be done. You don't have enough time left on this earth to do all the things you want to do. But you do have enough time left on this earth to do what God wants you to do. But you must focus. Shall we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for speaking to me, speaking through me, and speaking to your wonderful people. I pray for this week there'll be many epiphanies, many suddenlies, many moments where we just have to stop and pause and ponder and muse and be amazed at the glory you are revealing to us in the moment. Thank you. Thank you for what you've done and for what you're about to do. Now, while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're here today and you don't know for sure that you're born again, you need to be born again. I'm going to invite you to come up here and talk to me or talk to any one of our counselors. That's what we're here for. We'll help you with that. No one's going to force you to do anything. But if you need to know more, we'd like to know what it means to be born again, what it means to be saved. You need to ask questions. That's what we're here to help you with. Come on up. We'll minister to you. Be glad to. If you're here for, maybe you're already born again, but you need a renewing, a refreshing, maybe a healing touch from God, whatever it is, hope, encouragement. Come on up. We're ready to minister to you. For what? No prayer is a silly prayer. If it concerns you, it concerns God. Come on up. Let us be glad to pray with you and minister to you. And if you don't need that kind of ministry today, then God bless you. Be sensitive during the time of dinner. Look around you. God may want to minister to you through someone, or He may want you to minister to them. Just be sensitive to that moment. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for the wonderful way you show up in our life and the way you just show off your glory. Thank you, God. May we behold your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead and begin the festivities in the back with whoever needs to do that with the food. We've already prayed. And visitors, stay with us. We have plenty of food. Come enjoy it with us. We're glad that you're here. Our altar workers will be up here for a few moments. If you need prayer, you come right now. We're ready to minister.